because everyone's panicking, one lady takes it upon herself to just start shoving people like no tomorrow. The guards are coming and they're yelling at people. Mm-hmm. I'm just like...
No, I was just going to say, like, I don't know who equated, like, long road trips with pigging out on junk food.
It's, like, because, the rule.
No, but, like, they're literal opposites. Like, you're literally doing a task, which is the most sedentary thing you could do, which is sitting in a car all day.
Yeah.
Doing literally nothing. The most you'll ever do is get out of the car to go and take a bathroom break or whatever. Or restock up on food. And you choose that time to, like... consume the most calories you can, just like constantly snacking throughout the road trip.
You know what it is?
What?
It's like where I forgot what the actual term is, but you know what, you know the people who eat when they're bored?
Yeah,
it's like that, because when you're sitting in a car, you're just
bored. But like, you always choose the worst things, the things that, like, your deepest desires in sweets. It's like, ooh, there's that candy I haven't tried in forever. And, like, this is the perfect moment. Just pick it up.
I'm thinking about every single time we've either had a road trip or, like, we've flown long-haul flights.
Yeah.
And our friends.
Yeah.
And myself included. I'm not going to, like, you know, act like I don't get junk food, too. But, like, but sometimes I try to rationalize it in my brain when I'm buying it. I'm like, am I really going to eat all this? Like.
But you do.
When we went to Australia the first time. Yeah. That's a long journey. It's a whole day.
All I brought with me was a bunch of biscuits. Like my mom cooked.
But those came in clutch.
I know. See?
But I, the first time I went, Amir.
Yeah.
Why did I buy a whole pack of Oreo cookies?
See? It's like calories. It's almost like calories don't exist when you're on a road trip.
But here's the craziest part, okay? Mm-hmm. Not only did I not even like put a dent into them I think I had one on the first flight and that was it. And I was like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
But they lasted the entire month that we were there.
There's no way.
Yeah, because I don't, like, I'm not.
But, like, I feel like, okay, there's a difference here. Mm. A plane versus a car road trip, like, one is an actual road trip.
Yeah.
But when you're taking a trip on a plane, that's a little different because you do get food on a plane as well. Like, typically, especially if you're going on a long trip like that, if you're taking a couple hour flight, you usually don't bring snacks. Like, you're going to be good for that. But like, if you're going on a long flight, you might bring a couple things, but it's always like so inconvenient to get up, especially if you don't want to put it in your seat because then you lose a little bit of leg room. You know, there's all those things that go on to it. But when you're in a car, when you're in a vehicle where you have control over everything that gets in and out of that vehicle, then you feel like you kind of go a little bit more crazy, you know? You bring in the whole pack of Oreos and you get bored at one point, you start snacking on it. Next thing you know, a whole sleeve is gone. 1 hour later, two sleeves are gone.
What?
2 hours later, you're going to the on the run or whatever that side thing is and picking up another pack because you finished the first one.
That's crazy.
I feel like that's like the one thing that still I thought about. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. But I do it myself. I literally just did it. By the way, I just got back from, like, when I say I just got back, I mean, I literally just drove back right now from Detroit, which is like a 4 hour drive away after visiting family. And yeah, I just came here, sat down, and now we started recording.
Wait, hold on. Let me put this down. I know you're looking at it like Sada.
Yeah. It's like literally a crumb.
No, I'm gonna eat that later.
Okay. Now you got some on your shirt too.
Wait. Cut. Nah. We're back.
Shit, what was my line again?
Did you miss us? We're back.
Did you miss us?
Because we missed you. Welcome back to another episode of the Cousin
Connection Podcast. It feels weird kind of saying that after, like,
I know,
literally,
right?
A month. How long has it been? It's been so long that I feel like a lot has changed. Okay, maybe not in the whole world, but like in the Western world, or specifically North America.
Yes.
Because of everything else going on south of the border. Mm-hmm. But before we get to that kind of stuff, now we didn't actually even say where you were going on the last episode.
Oh yeah, we just said like.
But now that we're back, you can fill them in on where exactly you were, Sada, causes a little bit of hiatus.
So remember when we came back and we said we were going to be more consistent, and then we disappeared for a couple weeks? Yeah. So the reason is because I fulfilled a lifelong dream of mine. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. my parents and I, Aisha and Yasin, we all got to do Umrah together.
Of course, I was left out of the group.
You were invited.
I know I wasn't invited. I didn't say I didn't want to come. Okay. There are other circumstances that led to me not being able to go. Okay. I had prior commitments.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And so, it was like really, I have to tell you guys all about it, like how it came about and all of that good stuff. So I feel like in the it's going to be 4 years since we've been on this podcast in April.
Is it?
Yeah.
4 years?
2021.
Damn.
I know.
We're just getting started, though.
It does feel like we just started.
Yeah.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone. And that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W, with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
In like the last 4 years that you guys have been listening to this podcast, I'm sure you've heard me and Amir talk about Umrah like several times. Mm-hmm. Every single time we talk about like traveling, I always say like, you know, one destination I really want to go to is obviously Mecca and Medina.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way that this trip came about, when I tell y'all that it was so last minute, it truly was very last minute. Like, I think a couple months ago I had told my mom like, okay, whether we do Umrah or like maybe you can go to Ethiopia or something, just like take off 2 weeks in January.
Yeah.
So I like her work is a bit more strict than mine. And so I kind of got her to take the time off.
Not knowing you guys were going to go on this trip yet.
Yeah. Like we actually had zero plans.
Yeah.
And so, obviously as you guys now know, right before like the end of December, I got really sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started feeling better, probably like after the first week of January, mind you, I left January 26th. Okay. First week of January passes.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I'm feeling healthier and like more optimistic on the new year. And I'm like, you know what? Mom still has 2 weeks off. Do you guys want to go do Umrah? And they were like, I mean, like, yeah, if we can, why not? And I was like, wait, really? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, great. Okay. Only to realize that I now have to plan this whole trip. Because normally when we travel, shout out to Nabat, because she usually like figures out everything for us. She's our travel agent, our like activity guide, you know what I mean? But now the onus is on me. And so I'm like, okay, let me look up tickets, because we weren't going with an Umrah group. We were just going on our own.
Yeah.
And so I messaged Gizman. I messaged Aisha, sorry. And I was like, hey, you free in like a couple weeks? She's like, for what? I'm like, do you want to go to Umrah? And she's like, yeah, okay. I was like, wait, really?
The life of an influencer.
No, literally.
Be able to just pick up and go anytime you want.
She's like, yeah, okay, sure. And I was like, all right, great. So I'm like, let me just like confirm tickets and stuff, and I'll tell you what flights to get and like what hotels and all that. And she's like, okay, cool. So mind you, January to like March, especially if you're in the financial industry, is the busiest time of the year. But of course, did I care? No. I went to my manager and I'm like, listen, so I need 2 weeks off. He's like, okay, when? In 2 weeks. He's like, oh, okay.
Your heart was probably racing. My heart, anytime I like need to make a quick trip, even if it's not 2 weeks, even if it's 3 days,
yeah,
my heart still races when it's like really close.
No, I mean, honestly, like my manager and I have a really good relationship. Alhamdulillah, like he's super chill and like, he'll always give me the time off.
Yeah.
As long as I ensure that my work is being covered.
Yeah.
And so he's like, are you like going somewhere? And mind you, my manager is older than me and has kids and stuff. And so he lives vicariously through me.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, where are you going now? Huh? Where are you going?
Yeah.
And I was like, actually, he's Egyptian. So I was like, I'm actually going to Saudi Arabia. And he's like, oh, okay. Interesting. He's not Muslim.
Yeah.
So I'm like, do you know what Umrah is?
He's like, of course he knows what Umrah is.
But I didn't, like, he's not Muslim, so I didn't know if he knew, right? So I was like, do you know what that is? And he was like, yeah. Wow, you're going there? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, okay, cool. So I took the days that I needed. And so I already got my time booked off. My dad now was booking his time off. And then the biggest thing was the tickets.
Yeah.
So I'm looking and I'm trying to do like this multi-city.
Was this all before you even looked into tickets?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, like.
At that point, it's like, I got to just accept whatever the price I get.
Literally, that was my mentality. So I'm looking up tickets and I'm trying to see like what's cheaper, doing like a multi-city, like one just massive round trip ticket with all these cities, or individual tickets. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, at this point, honestly, I knew that I was accepting the L.
Yeah.
I should have just known. So I didn't do a multi-city. I decided. So anytime, like, I've gotten a lot of DMs saying how much was it. I'm like, don't do what I did.
Yeah.
Because I spent way more than I needed to.
I don't know if I'll ever ask. I don't want it. I will.
I'll tell you off camera so that you can like yell at me and be like, you are so dumb, Sara. But anyways, I start purchasing like the tickets, period, like pieces by piece. So I'm like, let's just get to Saudi first. Mm-hmm.
Do you have to start a GoFundMe for you, Sara?
When I saw that credit card bill,
God.
I spread it across like two credit cards.
Yeah. Those are one of the ones where you just put it in it and you're like, it's just whatever, take it out.
Nobody asked me to hang out for the next 3 months, okay? We are doing free activities only.
Yeah.
So I bought all the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Only to then realize that to go between Mecca, Medina, Jeddah within Saudi Arabia, it was cheaper to buy a train ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, okay. So I'm looking up the train tickets. And when I was buying it, like I had watched a lot of like videos online in terms of like what's the best route.
Mm-hmm.
And so the interesting thing is that like last minute when I was buying the plane tickets,
mm-hmm.
I decided to switch the whole trip around. So originally we were going to start off in Oman, then go to Qatar, then do Saudi and finish our trip off during Umrah.
Yeah.
But, you know, nature's schedule permitted or didn't permit that. And so we were like, you know what, to avoid the trouble,
mm-hmm.
let's just get Umrah out of the way, do that first, and then do the rest of our trip.
That's one thing I never thought about that women have to account for is the fact that, like, you know, if you're doing these things like that require you to be in a, you know, a clean manner, or what do they call it? Like a
purified
manner, like you really do have to plan ahead, or like
of course,
especially like now I'm thinking about it, how do you plan months ahead for something like this? Because like you gotta be like, okay, this cycle, this thing has to come in at this time, this has to come in at this time for you to like actually make it. There's a lot, I know there's workarounds, and I think Aisha actually spoke about that online.
Yeah, but you could take like pills to manipulate your cycle.
Yeah.
But fortunately for women, because it's not a one size fits all type of thing, where there are people with irregular schedules. There are different factors like stress that could impact your routine. Traveling could impact your routine. And so, yeah, like you could do things to kind of mitigate for something as big as Umrah, or even when people are going to do Hajj, it's very normal for them to take those pills.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wondering what we're talking about, you can probably go to your doctor to ask for, I can't remember what the pills are called, but you basically just ask for pills that'll stop your flow from coming.
Mm-hmm.
So you take them for a certain amount of days, and then once you stop it, your flow should come after that. But anyways.
Check Aisha's page for possible side effects of that.
Yeah, so we decided we're going to do Umrah first, and so I got all the tickets, and then after that I was looking into train tickets, only to realize that the train tickets ask you to put your passport number.
Mm-hmm.
And I put everyone's passport number, and then I'm like, oh wait, we need visas to enter Saudi.
Mm-hmm.
So I go ahead, I put mine in, get my visa right away. Put my mom's in, she gets her visa right away. Now I'm doing my dad's. Denied. That's funny. Why do you get denied? Mm-hmm. It's weird. Until I read the fine print. Passport must be valid for more than 6 months from travel date.
That's a big thing. Yeah.
And I was like, got to be kidding me. You want to know why? Because his passport expired July 15th. When was I purchasing these tickets, you may ask? January 18th.
No, 3 days?
Literally 3 days from when I was purchasing. So I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
So then I look at my dad and I said, listen, it is the 18th. We are allegedly leaving on the 26th.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you. Or sorry, 25th, actually, because it was a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go to Service Canada tomorrow.
Yeah.
And renew it express, like, next day.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, all right, stress is high, adrenaline has kicked in. He takes a sick day. Sorry, Dad, I'm exposing you. He gets his passport.
Yeah.
Or sorry, submits it. And then, you know, now he doesn't have a visa, which is whatever. But then I'm like thinking there, oh my God, I put in his other passport number in the train ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, does that matter? Oh. And I'm wondering, like, does that matter? So I start messaging my friends who have been to Umrah. I'm like, hey, like, you know, like Khalid, actually, because Khalid goes every year. Yeah. Mashallah. I was like, hey, have you ever taken the train? He's like, yes. I'm like, did you have to put your passport number? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do they ever check? No. I was like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, literally just like go. And I was like, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we get our tickets. We get the visa. I get my dad's express passport.
Yeah.
I get him the visa. And then I start looking up videos of like, okay, what do we actually pack for Umrah?
Mm-hmm.
Side note, prior to even what I packed for Umrah, I think the reality sunk in where I'm like, wait, I've never done Umrah before. I don't have a guide. My parents have never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what we're doing. And we're paying all this money to go all the way there. We need to figure out a game plan. So I message my beloved cousin. I'm not going to expose him because he's probably going to get mad.
He's not on social media.
Yeah, he's not on social media. But anyways, I message my beloved cousin who, mashallah, very knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. He's been to Umrah several times.
Yeah.
And so I said, listen, I'm going to need a crash course. He's like, okay, when are you leaving? In a week and a half. He's like, okay.
Yeah.
And he really, like, I'm so grateful to have him because he, when I tell you, like, gave me so many important details and, like, really just explained it in a digestible, easy way where it took my overwhelmed feeling to now feel like, okay, I got it. And he literally said to me, he's like, look, it can seem intimidating at first, but it really is so simple. It's like five steps and he like listed it all out. You know, have your intention, like entering the state of ihram, doing your tawaf, then doing the sa'i when you go between Safa and Marwa, then cutting your hair for men shaving their head or cutting it, and then you're out of the state of ihram.
Yeah.
And so he gave me all these tips and do this and do that and enter through this gate.
I'm sure he like gave you like things to say or things to do.
Yeah, yeah, like and like what apps to download and like what's helpful. And so he gave me all of that. And I was like sharing with your sister and also, you know, telling my parents. And then once I had that, like it was like a checklist, you know. So I'm like, okay, now we know what we're doing for Umrah. Next, what to pack? Because I don't know what to pack. So then it was like the week before my mom got my dad his ihram, which is the two white cloths that the men
where do you get that
wear any like hijab store.
Oh really?
Yeah,
like they have it specifically sold like ihram.
Yeah. Okay. So like, you know, Nugget Mosque next to my house, there's like a hijab store right next to it.
Yeah, I've been to that one.
Yeah, you have.
I've been to that one.
I know. So she went there and he like my cousin was also telling us like which fabric is better.
Yeah.
And so we got the one that he suggested. And you know, learning about like the state of ihram and like what you can and can't do in the what is it, the prohibitions or prohibitations? What's the word?
Prohibitions, yeah.
Prohibitions.
Let's say that, yeah.
Okay, not prohibitation. That's not a word.
I don't think that's a word. It's not, son. Don't just leave it.
Prohibitation is.
Prohibitation is not a word.
Yeah,
don't even. You don't have to Google it.
All right, fine. Anyways, the prohibitions.
Mm-hmm.
Things that are forbidden for you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it means. Okay, great. Learning about that was an eye-opener. I actually didn't know. And so
I thought it was very similar to the things that like would be prohibited when you're fasting.
No more. So like, for example, one of the big ones was you can't use any scented products.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember this.
But then you're like, you don't think about like scented product. Like you're like, okay, yeah, whatever. Until you go to like wash your hands and you're in the state of ihram. You're like, wait, I can't use the soap because it's scented or deodorant.
I wonder within Mecca, do they, their machines, not machines, their bathrooms, the soap, do they have like unscented?
No.
No?
No, because they're hotels.
No, but how about in Mecca? Like there's bathrooms in Mecca, no? I mean, not in Mecca, sorry. In the Masjid Al-Haram. Haram, oh my God. I'm about to say haram. I always...
Like, I know, I know, because it's spelled the same.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually. I've never used the bathroom in the
masjid. Oh, really?
Yeah, because I always, like, mentally prepared.
Yeah.
So I would just...
I guess, because you always want to be in the state of, like...
Like having wudu?
Having wudu, yeah. Okay.
And so, you know, I was like, okay, oh my God, all my skincare has like, mm-hmm. now I have to look what has scents and what doesn't. So I specifically picked out mm-hmm. my skincare that was all fragrance free.
Yeah.
And then like running shoes, like wearing comfortable sneakers. So mm-hmm. for women, we didn't have as many restrictions. I could wear running shoes yeah. when doing Tawaf, but my dad couldn't. So men really? Can't have the top. You can't see my feet.
You can't have the top of your feet covered?
The top of your feet, your heel, and your ankles mm. have to be uncovered. So slides, flip flops, yeah. mm-hmm. you could probably do.
Yeah.
So we get all our stuff. We're packing. And, you know, me, mm-hmm. I am a seasoned traveler.
Yeah.
So I packed in mind that we were still going to two other countries mm-hmm. after Umrah. My parents. No joke.
Yeah.
I think their checked bags were literally like 10 kilos. So light.
You know what? They're probably like, we're going to probably buy a bunch of stuff over there too.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. So the time comes mm-hmm. and I mean, granted, we're literally packing the night before we leave. Come mm-hmm. on, let's be real. And our flight wasn't until like 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. the next day.
Yeah.
But my cousin had warned me the specific airlines that we took are notorious for changing the flight last minute, like just randomly.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. That being said, we went to the airport early with that in mind. And of course they changed it, but mm-hmm. they didn't tell us until we were literally checking in.
But like, even if they do change it, it's all going to be within the same area, right?
No, the time. They changed the time.
Oh, they changed the time. I thought just yeah. the gate, you mean.
No, they changed okay. the time. So, like, I told you, the flight's 6 p.m.
Yeah.
We were at the gate by, like, 2:45. Like, when I tell you I was early. The gate,
2:45?
Like, sorry, at the airport.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Yeah. At the airport. And so we're putting in our bags. Mm-hmm. And the lady's like, okay, so you actually don't have time to, like, relax because boarding is going to be at 4:15.
But the thing is... usually whenever there is any type of change or delay, they delay it further. They don't bring it closer.
Thank you.
Who brings time closer?
And then doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what do you mean 4:15? The flight's at 6:00. She's like, oh yeah, it changed. I'm like, and when were you going to tell us? She's like, now. And I looked at her like.
You know why they do that? I feel like a lot of airlines these days are like overbooking their flights.
Yeah.
So they're doing things to intentionally try and like screw over their own customers.
That's not right.
Well, that's the thing. And like also like have you noticed how nowadays you're almost guaranteed to almost not find room for overhead baggage, mm-hmm. right? And back in the day, I don't remember when we were younger that ever being that much of an issue. But I feel like what they did is they kept the same amount of like overhead storage, but they made the seats closer and added more seats to the planes.
Yes, but actually, okay, so we took Saudi Airlines. Mm-hmm. That was my first time ever taking it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I feel like...
Why?
I feel like maybe it's me. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm the problem. Because every time we travel, like something has to go wrong yeah. every single time. So at this point, like, you know, she's telling us like boarding is at 4:15, mm-hmm. but you still have to go through security.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, so... we put all our bags in, whatever. And then mm-hmm. now we're like running to go through security. And it's like really busy for some reason. It's mm-hmm. a Saturday. So like, I get it.
Yeah.
It's busy at the airport. And so we go through security. And then when we actually get to the gate, the flight was like packed.
See?
To the brim.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that meant no overhead space. Like mm-hmm. if we got on late.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? I think we have like a little bit of time that we could probably just like grab something to eat because we were hungry.
Were going to still grab something to eat?
We had time. We got to the gate. It was 3:30.
But you said that they were already
4:15. Like... the lady made it sound like they were boarding right now.
Oh, okay.
But because
okay.
there's so many people that probably didn't know that it was boarding 2 hours yeah. or an hour early.
Yeah.
We're still arriving.
Okay.
And so, you know, we grab something to eat. Then we're like, okay, we have to board the plane.
Mm-hmm.
So we're putting our stuff on and it was kind of packed where we had to put like a few seats down, which was kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Like I was like, you know what? It's fine. It is what it is. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So we get on the plane and mind you, again, I booked these tickets last minute. So did I book us the middle aisle? Yes, I did.
All three of you?
Yeah, but it's okay. We were sitting together.
Oh, wait, middle aisle. Sorry, I said middle seat. Okay.
Yeah, so like we were sitting together. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing, so what I realized when we were preparing for the trip mm-hmm. was that we would be entering the state of ihram on the flight.
Oh, so this is something I've seen before. Is there like a place for men to change or like how does that work? Okay, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay.
So because we're entering the state of ihram on mm-hmm. the plane, for my mom and I, we were good. Like we were wearing we're hijabis, right? Yeah. So like we're already covered.
Yeah.
So entering the state of ihram is just we're saying our intention. Stating our intention. My dad, mm-hmm. for men, when they enter the state of ihram, one of the things that is forbidden for men when they're in that state is you can't wear clothing that has been stitched together. Mm-hmm. So what you're wearing or form fitting, like clothes that have been that has been tailored to your body.
Yeah.
So that meant my dad had to change out of his clothes into the two white things, mm-hmm. which he brought in his carry on.
Yeah.
So my cousin, when he was telling us, you know, these steps, he told my dad, like, because you're on Saudi Airlines, and I'm sure a lot of people on this flight are probably doing Umrah as well, mm-hmm. you want to, like, usually on the flight, they'll announce when, like, 2 hours before the Miqat point, which is the border for when you're entering the state of Ihram. Mm-hmm. So they did, and then I was telling my dad, like, maybe you should go change now.
Yeah.
And so he went and changed, like, a couple hours before. And then that kind of had like a domino effect. And it was really cool to see. But like all of a sudden. All the other
guys following him.
All of a sudden, like all of these men are wearing their outfits. And so one of the other things was that when we got on the plane, we didn't mm-hmm. have time to pray Maghrib or Isha.
Yeah.
So now we're on the plane and I'm like, oh my God, I've never like actually prayed on a plane before. Mm-hmm. So now what do we do?
Yeah.
They had a prayer room on the plane.
In the plane?
I recorded it. By the way, I vlogged the trip. On the plane, yeah. And it was so cool because mm-hmm. you know what it was? In the back of the plane, you know how they have like the kitchen thing? Yeah. So in front of that, normally there would mm-hmm. be seats.
Yeah.
But they basically got rid of all the seats and it was like a curtained, like basically the size of this carpet that you have here. And it was like a Salat Kaleem, mm-hmm. like a big prayer carpet, a curtained area, mm-hmm. and then like probably
does it tell you like which way the plane is facing?
Yeah. Right now? Mm. And so four people could fit in there.
Four people?
Yeah, it was a pretty big space.
Okay.
So my mom and I, like we all took turns. So my mom and I went together. My dad went after.
Yeah.
And when we went in there was like this older woman who was just like chilling, doing her dhikr. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow.
On a plane.
Yeah.
So did your dad change in the bathroom? Like where did he change?
Actually.
Because I feel like you have to take off all your clothes. You know how like tiny those bathrooms are half the time?
I'm trying to remember. Did he change in the aisle? No. What he did was
because you have to take off everything. No,
he wore a sweater. Mm-hmm. He changed his top half like in the seat.
Yeah,
and then just went to the prayer room area, closed the curtains, and changed. Oh, his
okay,
pants.
Okay.
Because it's so much space.
Yeah.
And then like once he was in that state, mm-hmm. he packed away all his clothes, all his shoes.
Yeah.
He was now in slides, and then we got to Jeddah, mm-hmm. the Jeddah airport.
Wait, one thing I'm a little ignorant of. Mm-hmm. Like how about the underwear situation?
Yeah, you can't wear underwear.
You can't wear underwear? So like under that one thing you like you're just like, commando?
Yep.
I did not know that. The thing is I knew that it was only two pieces that you had to wear, but I never put it together to announce like, oh wait, like you can't wear underwear because those are also stitched.
Yeah. So essentially the whole purpose around that is, you know, the Muslims are supposed to be considered equal. Like, whether you're rich or poor or mm-hmm. famous or a regular person, like, everyone is wearing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we die and we're shrouded with the white cloths. Yeah. And so that's what it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so, like, beautiful and, like, mm-hmm. humbling. And so...
Especially getting off that plane where, like, 90% of the men just wearing the same thing.
Yeah, it was really, like, cool to see. Mm-hmm. And the other cool thing...
Yeah.
Was that when the flight was like once they closed the door and the flight was mm-hmm. the plane was like starting to drive off to fly?
Yeah.
On the screen, it had the traveler dua.
Oh yeah, I've heard that. Do they play it in the speakers as well?
Yeah, like it's on the screen. They play it out loud and everyone. Yeah, I've heard that before and it's too. So yeah. like it was just so nice, mm-hmm. and they handed out dates and like it was just a very mm-hmm. nice experience.
Yeah.
And then when you're reaching the miqat point, it announces it, and then it says, may Allah accept your umrah and your mm-hmm. dua and prayers. And I was like, oh my God, I love this. And so we actually ended up landing a little bit earlier mm-hmm. in Saudi Arabia, obviously because they made our plane leave early.
Yeah.
And from Jeddah, we were supposed to take the train mm-hmm. to Mecca.
Yeah.
But because we were there earlier, I'm like, is it worth us waiting all this time? Let's just call an Uber.
Yeah.
And so we were waiting for our bags.
What happened?
My mom's bag never came. And it was the one bag that I didn't put an air tag in. So we really had no clue where it was.
Yeah.
And so then I had to go, and I was like, oh my God, this is literally deja vu. Like,
You are kind of like.
Is it me? I think I'm the problem.
It might actually be you, because almost the exact same thing happened to us in Australia. Going to Australia.
I know. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, oh my God, not this again. So then I go to the baggage thingy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is what the bag looked like. Da da da. And I'm explaining it to him. And he scans the little bag tags.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, the bag's actually in Toronto.
It never left.
I'm like, sir, we were there early. Why didn't it make it? And he was like, I don't know, but we'll put it on the next flight out. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. so when is that? He's like, so the bag should arrive in about 2 days. I'm like, 2 days?
2 days?
I'm like, okay, but like, we're going to be in Medina at that point. Yeah. He's like, and we'll ship it to Medina.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, how are you going to know where we are? He's like, give me the address of the hotel. And I was like, yeah, you're right. So I gave him the address, and then he's like, okay, give me your phone number. Like, yo, they love WhatsApp over there.
Mm-hmm. Hey, those are my people, okay?
The amount of random numbers I have in my WhatsApp.
Yeah.
So I give him my number,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, do you speak Arabic? Mind you, the guy was Arab, but he looked like, he was black.
Yeah.
He was one of us. Mm-hmm. But he was like, are you Arab? And I was like, no. He's like, but your name is Sara Ali. And he's like, and your dad's name is Muhammad Ali. I'm like, yeah, and we're Muslim. That's the point. Okay. So he's like, okay, English only, understood.
Yeah.
I guess for like whoever's communicating with me.
Yeah.
So he gets all of our details. And then I look at my mom. My mom's looking at me like, what am I going to do Umrah in? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, I didn't pack any of my clothes in my carry-on.
Mm-hmm. What did she put in her carry-on?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
And so I looked at her like, you amateur. And she's like, why? You have all your clothes in your carry-on? I'm like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I packed my Umrah outfit in my carry-on. Hello, I learned my mistake from Australia. Duh. And then she's like, well, why didn't you tell me? And
always I was
like,
the most important items in your carry-on.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was so pissed mm-hmm. and I was just annoyed. But I'm like, you know, we are in the state of ihram.
Exactly.
I have to be calm.
Yes.
Cool, calm, and collected, sabr, you know, mm-hmm. patience.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, it's fine, guys. Let's not even take the train that I paid an arm and a leg for. Let's just take an Uber. Did I get my money back for the train? No.
Wait, why didn't you take the train?
Because I was too angry.
No way.
So, yeah, no. And we didn't want to wait another 3 hours for the train.
3 hours?
Yeah, because we were supposed to land at 2, and then the train was at 4.
But because of the guy, okay.
So we take an Uber.
Mm-hmm.
This Uber driver.
I've heard notorious things about Uber drivers.
No, he was so kind.
Oh, okay.
Like, truly.
Yeah.
But he also, it was one of those things where I was calling an Uber and he's like, you trying to get an Uber? And I was like, yeah. He's like, cancel it. I'll take you. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know you. He's like, no, I promise. And it'll be a good rate. He's like, what did the thing tell you?
Mm-hmm.
So I told him the rate and I'm like, I don't have cash. I just got here. And he's like, it's okay. We'll use card or ATM or whatever. So I'm like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So we get in his car. He loads everything up. And now the drive is about an hour and a half.
We're from Mecca?
Jeddah to Mecca.
Oh, okay.
The airport to Mecca.
I forgot that. Yeah, I was in a different city technically.
Yeah, mm-hmm. which is not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
So we get in the car and we're driving. And he can see, like, obviously we're literally fresh off the plane.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, who wants coffee? And all three of us, me. You know, like the little baby.
Seasons Orlando. Me.
Yeah.
Who wants to go to the Four Seasons?
Me. Yeah. What do they call that baby again?
The Four Seasons baby. No.
But the, like, aware baby or something
like
that.
Yeah, something like
that.
Like that.
Oh, I gotta forget what the word was.
So we're all like, me.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm like, ooh, he gonna extra charge us for this.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets us karak. It wasn't actually coffee. It was karak, tea, which is essentially like hai shahi, but it was like
garak tea. Did you see the box that it came in?
No, it, he got
because we like, literally in Detroit.
Yeah,
someone gave us something called. Where's my phone? Where's my phone?
I don't know.
I think it was the first time we had garak tea.
Isn't or something. It really good?
Yeah, Hanan loved it so much. She's like, take a picture of it so we can get it here. And I'm pretty sure that that was a tea. It has. Oh no, sorry, I got it wrong. You know, let's forget I just did. It's called Al Kaboos.
Oh.
Kaboos.
Carry but on. He gets us this karak tea, but I think it had like a shot of espresso because it had like a coffee-ish taste, like a dirty chai, basically.
What time were you landing again?
This is like, I want to say this is like 1 p.m.
Yeah, okay.
So we're driving and he's like super friendly and telling us about his life in Saudi. And then on our way, he goes, oh, let me just slow down here on the highway, mind you. I'm like, slow down, why? He said, no, this is a really important site here. And we're like, oh, he's like, this is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's wife Maymuna's grave. And I was like,
you can see from the road
on the side. Yeah, it was like literally on the side of the highway.
No way.
Yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So then he showed it to us and we were like, wow. We didn't get to get out of the car, unfortunately, but we just kept driving. Then in the distance, I see the really tall clock tower. And I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. We're like, oh,
it's happening.
So I start freaking out. Yeah. And my mom's like, what do you see? And I'm like, the clock tower. She's like, the what? I'm like, girl.
Just has she not watched the live stream?
Literally.
It's literally in the background. I was like,
the
24/7.
Clock tower. And then my dad gets it. I'm vlogging. Then she finally realizes what I'm talking about. And so we get to our hotel. And, you know, one of the advice that we got was when you get off the plane and you get to your hotel, rest first and then do your umrah because you want to be fully awake and present when you're doing that. So I was like, okay. So we got to our hotel, super nice. We like relaxed. We ate food. We took a shower to freshen up, but it was like weird to shower without using soap because, no. We had unscented soap. That was the one thing I did get. So we used our soap and then it was like, oh, wait, we don't have unscented body wash, body lotion. So I guess we just go and dry. It is what it is.
Yeah, we're ashy the whole time.
And then I obviously like Aisha got there the day before, so she already finished her umrah, so did Yasin. And so we planned to meet up at a certain time. She's like, listen, it's better for you to do it after midnight. It's less busy. So I'm like, okay.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Okay, no problem. So it felt weird leaving our hotel at like 11:45 p.m. But we get there and now we're on like the outside of Masjid al-Haram. So I still couldn't see the Kaaba, but it's like just being there and it's like, wow, it's so late at night, but like the hustle and bustle, like there's so many people everywhere.
I feel like when people say like this place never sleeps or this place actually never sleeps.
No, like New York ain't got nothing on Mecca. Like literally it's so, I think I was in like a trance because I just couldn't believe that we were actually here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we prayed our Maghrib and Isha on the courtyard outside part of the mosque. And then Gizman was like, okay, are you guys ready? And I was like, yeah, I guess. And so, like, I was really trying to, like, mentally
prepare yourself.
Prepare, like, hey, you're really here. You're really in this beat. Okay, it's not the B word. But, like, you're really here, you know, like, be present.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, we're ready. So one of the things to note is that when you see the Kaaba for the first time, the dua that you make is accepted. So Gizman was like, okay, so everyone look down. I'm going to like just everyone like put your hand on your shoulder or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm going to lead you guys to the Kaaba. And then when I tell you look up, look up. So we're like, okay. So do you know how hard it is to like walk without looking up?
Yeah.
So we walked for like, I want to say like 10 minutes like that.
Is it? Take like
from where we were to go to the gate, then to walk. Like it is huge. It's actually so much bigger than I ever thought it was.
Yeah.
So we finally get there, and there's people all around, and I can tell Gizman's like giddy and excited, and then we're giddy and excited, and then, you know, we're following her, and then she's like, "Okay, you guys are like, I positioned you so that you're not in anyone's way and stuff, so you can see it clearly," and like, it's interesting because it's like there's with. Even though there's so many people, it's like this like white noise, like the hum of all the people and the crowd and stuff. So we finally look up, and then it's like, you know, when people explain what it's like when they saw their love of their life for the first time, like time freezes. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not even joking. Time actually felt like it froze.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it was just because I don't know. Like, I never expected the Kaaba to be that big. Mm-hmm. But to, like, literally see it in front of my eyes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys have... Like, I always wear this necklace all the time. But there's literally a Kaaba on there. Yeah, it has a Kaaba on it,
yeah.
And I've had this since I was, like, 2. Mm-hmm. And so I would always, like, be like, one day. And, you know, every time I would, like, pray at home, mm-hmm. I would always, like, envision, like, oh, my God, what would it be like to just pray in front of the Kaaba? And, like, standing there and seeing it. Like, obviously, we were overcome with emotion and, like... The thing, like, I guess instinct is to, like, look away because you're so overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. But you can't look away. You got to keep looking at it and make all your dua.
Yeah.
So we're just, like, in awe and, like, took our time, made all of our dua. And then it was time to start our umrah. Mm-hmm. That?
That's, I feel like, a whole journey in itself.
If you're claustrophobic, may Allah help you. Like, it's definitely an experience. Mm-hmm. And... you know, one of the things that I made dua for, not in that moment, but, like, ahead of time, was, like, give me the patience to, like, go through that. Because there, when I tell you hundreds of thousands of people, and it was more packed that night because it was also Isra al-Mi'raj.
Yeah. Which you guys didn't...
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I actually had no idea.
You found out when you got there, basically.
I knew right before we left.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're like, oh, wow, like... mashallah, you guys planned it so perfectly. Mm-hmm. I'm like, actually, no, this was just Nasib. Yeah. Like, I really didn't plan it like that. And so when I tell you it was packed, like, it was packed to the brim.
Mm-hmm. I've heard horror stories inside there, man.
And alhamdulillah, we never had anything, like, too extreme happen to us. Mm-hmm. But it was literally, if we did not hold on to each other, we would be lost in that crowd. I had an eSIM, and at this point, my parents didn't. Mm-hmm. So if we got separated, we were, like, gone. You know?
Yeah, you want to go into what happened?
Yeah. But when we were doing our tawaf, we all had, like, little side... What are bags. These called? Side bags.
Yeah.
So everyone was holding on. Mm-hmm. And at first, my dad was in front, but because he's bigger than us, like, he was blocking the view and we were, like, stumbling. So I'm like, let me go first. Put my mom in the middle and then my dad.
Yeah.
So we did our rounds. Alhamdulillah, it took us maybe, like, an hour and a half, and almost 2 hours.
To do 7 rounds?
Yes. You know why? Because the place where you start your tawaf is also the place where people exit. So there's always, like, a little bit of a stall.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, it's kind of annoying because people are trying to leave and people are trying to get in, and it's a traffic jam.
Yeah.
And there are also people who were either right next to the Kaaba or touching it, and then they're trying to get out, but, like, trying to squeeze their way out. It's...
Yeah.
And
it's like, you know, when you go through a river, when you try and go in a straight line, you end up, like, drifting.
Yes.
I feel like that's what happens when you try and go through, like, a river of people.
and then Gizman also told me, she's like, beware of the groups, the Umrah groups, because what they do is they will either link arms or, like, hold on to each other, and they, no matter what, it's like, you know, Red Rover, like, do not let go. They don't let go. Mm-hmm. But that also means that if you are caught in their path, good luck.
Really?
Yeah, they'll knock you over. And I'm not talking about, like, men that are your size, Amir. Yeah. These are, like, 4'5" aunties that are just so strong, mashallah. Like, I'm like, bro, like, where are you coming from? You know, like, looking down.
It's a power of will, okay?
Yeah, but, like, wow. And so people are pushing you left, right, center. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at first my dad was like, yo. And I'm like, chill. Chill. We just got to chill.
Yeah.
It's fine. We just got to get through
it. Do you hear people fighting in there?
Yeah, but closer to, like, where the black stone is, which is kind of sad because they're all trying to touch it. Mm-hmm. But, yo, like, the way that people act, it's kind of scary because I was told don't even try. Because unfortunately for the sisters, like, I've heard stories where people get their hijabs ripped off.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're also dealing with people from all over the world.
Exactly.
But it's also people coming from all different walks of life.
Yep.
People with different temperaments. Like, you're...
Yeah.
Every single... demographic of people you can think of come here, because Muslims are, like, very demographically diverse, right?
And it could be, like, people who spent their life savings, and so they cannot miss this opportunity.
Yeah.
And I kept reminding myself of that mm-hmm. whenever I'd get like shoved or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? Like, and it really is true. Mm-hmm. You see every single type of person mm-hmm. in that moment. You're like, wow, mm-hmm. like, wow, you're Muslim too. Like, it's very humbling and just like enlightening experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we finished our Umrah. By the time we were done, it was like maybe an hour left until Fajr at this point. And so I'm like, we might as well pray here.
Yeah.
Like, we're here already. Let's just try and find a spot.
Yeah.
An hour before, I'm telling you. Actually, more than an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. We couldn't find a spot.
Really?
Yeah.
People are already waiting that
yes,
early.
Yes, yes. And so...
And like, where are you looking for the spot? Within the actual...
no chance. They closed it off.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, there was no chance we were going to get in there. So I'm like, okay, maybe we can go to the second level. Mm-hmm. Blocked off.
Really?
Third level, blocked off. And here's the scary part. You get to the upper levels by taking an escalator. Mm-hmm. Remember how we were just talking about there's people from all walks of life, different countries, some people who have never been on an escalator before.
Oh, yeah.
Why are we all fearing for our lives? Mm-hmm. Because it's literally people are like frozen on there. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to the
top,
end,
they don't know how to get off.
Exactly. And people are just like falling over each other. And I'm like, guys, like, keep moving. Keep moving. Don't do that. And so like we just keep taking all these escalators, mm-hmm. escalators, escalators. And then we find ourselves on the roof. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, this is nice.
Yeah.
So we get there. And our mistake, first day, we didn't have a prayer carpet. So it's just like marble floor, mm-hmm. which was nice until I stepped on it. And it was literally ice cold. Mm-hmm. So we like... I think we had like my mom's shawl. Mm-hmm. So we sat on that.
Yeah.
And I was also warned like, oh yeah, you know, people are going to be coughing and sneezing in your face. Mm-hmm. Happened. It is what it is.
I think everyone is almost guaranteed to get sick at least once there.
Yeah.
And yell that. We'll get to that.
So, you know, we pray Fajr. And when we got there, there were like maybe like 300 people. Mm-hmm. And that's still a lot.
Yeah.
When we were done praying... And side note, after every obligatory prayer, mm-hmm. they always pray Salatul Janaza because someone always passes away, which, subhanAllah, like, you know. So
yeah, I feel like that happens a lot there because you're also dealing, when I say all walks of life, people who are at the end of their, like, their oldest they've ever been, because at this point, they're like, I have to come here at least once. So it's a lot of
older
people.
Yeah, and they
want
to die
well.
In Mecca, like, why not, you know?
Exactly, right? So, yeah.
So... When I stood up to, and remember, my parents don't have data or any sort of way to contact them. So when we got there, we told my dad, like, meet at this door. Mm-hmm. When we got up and the prayer was done, I'm going to send you a video to insert the clip here. Because there were just, like, people after. Like, I got out and I was standing by the door so that I could
see them.
Him.
Yeah.
I saw my mom. And she was with me, but we couldn't see my dad. And there were just like hundreds of people, men, women, kids, whatever, just piling out. And I'm like, we're never going to find my dad. We're going to be here till the sun rises.
Yeah.
Eventually, my mom's like, I'm just going to go look for him. And I was like, well, there goes my mom. Never going to see her again.
I would have not let her go, but okay.
So then she eventually gets him. Mm-hmm. We find each other. And then at this point, it's like mayhem to leave the masjid area. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know what, let's go to the clock tower, let's get something to eat, and then we'll go.
Yeah,
we're thinking smart.
Okay,
so I'm thinking it's 7 a.m or it's like 7 a.m at this point by the time we found each other.
Yeah,
the sun's rising, let's get some breakfast. You think they had breakfast food? My options were pizza, pasta, fried chicken, fried fish. And I'm like, at 7 in the morning? Mm-hmm. So that, or like cake and like sugary,
like,
stuff.
For you, it might be the morning, quote unquote, but like for everybody else, this could be like
their last
meal. End of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So, and technically for you guys, it was kind of the end of the day because you were up a lot earlier.
I guess so. Yeah. So then we settled for fried fish because I'm like, protein, whatever. Yeah. We got fish and chips and we were just like on a high because, like, you know, we had finished Umrah, like my dad was
like,
now
I feel
bald.
Like all the nerves kind of go away after that.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
And so we ate and we spoke to your mom.
Yeah.
And then we headed back to our hotel and we slept. Then the next day we, I knew, cause we were only in Mecca for, was it
2 days?
Two nights, 3 days.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So the second day, I'm like, okay, today's the day that we're gonna go and like visit the Prophet's wife's grave, Sayyida Khadija.
Yeah.
We're gonna visit her grave, we're gonna go look at the birthplace of the Prophet, and then if we're lucky, we'll try and touch the Kaaba this mm-hmm. time. Because another fun fact, when you're in the state of Ihram, you can't touch the Kaaba because usually they perfume, like they perfume it, and that's scented, right?
Yeah.
So you can't touch it when you're in the state of Ihram. So Gizman, when we were doing our Umrah, Aisha? Her and Yasin, Aisha, they were able to touch it that time. So we were going to do it the next day. So earlier when we went out for dinner, my dad forgot that like he's no longer in the state of Ihram. He could have just worn like a thobe.
Yeah.
But he wore his Ihram again.
Of course.
So we went to a restaurant like that. And, you know, I was telling him, like, why are you wearing this again? And he was like, what do you mean? I'm like, you're not in a ihram.
Just comfortable, you know?
Yeah, but like.
Yeah.
He wasn't even wearing it. So I was like, why?
Well, you know, if you're going to be, you're going to be wearing the, you know, the.
But you, once you're done, clothing, you can wear
it. Well, you know, just.
Yeah.
You're already covered. Why do I have to wear that?
So then after we ate dinner, he's like, I'm going to change into my thobe. So he changes into his thobe. Then we go back to Masjid al-Haram.
Yeah.
And we're now entering through the same gate that Gizman took us through, Aisha took us through. And they didn't let my dad in.
Why?
Because that specific gate 79 is specifically for people who are performing Umrah. And you can't enter that area if you're not wearing this, the ihram.
But how were you? Oh, because you already probably wearing.
We're wearing abaya. Yeah. They're not going to regulate women, right? So my dad had to basically wait for us outside.
Yeah.
So my mom and I go in and I'm like, oh no, we don't have my dad to like protect us now. Yeah. It's fine. Like we'll be fine. So we go in and it is even more packed than when we went. This is the next day. Amir, I wish I was joking or I wish I was exaggerating, but I'm really telling you like my honest experience. I just felt this inclination in my heart. Like today's the day you're going to touch the Kaaba. So I was like, okay, Ya Rab, make it easy for us. If it's meant for us, just clear the path, make it easy. Next thing I know, path is clear. So we get closer and we're like inching closer and closer and closer. And now we're at the, so if there's a diagram of the Kaaba here, you know that little like curved white part?
Yeah.
So we got to that point. And there's a lot of reward for the for people who are able to pray on the inside of that. So we were trying to get in, but then the guards were there and they were like cleaning stuff and they're like, oh, this place is, it's closed. We closed this section until next week. And I was like,
next week?
Next week? Why? So then I'm like kind of sad and I'm like, all right. So my mom's like, let's go back. And I looked at her like,
it's a circle.
I'm like, let's go back. What do you mean, let's go back? We can just walk around and then the Kaaba's like, we're looking at it. It's right there. Like I could reach.
And it's also a circle. You can just go around the other side.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm like, listen, hold on. We're going to touch the Kaaba today. So she holds on to me. We make our way around. And next thing I know, we're in front of Maqam Ibrahim. And I'm like, oh my God. So now we're looking at like the footsteps of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam are inside there. And I'm like being
shocked. They have it covered in glass, right? So you can like.
Yeah. Like it's like this like. Gold thing and so you kind of just look into it but you can't actually like look over
because I remember seeing it like in whenever you're seeing like a live stream of it you see like these pillars randomly
those gold pillars right?
Exactly.
Yeah, the bigger one is Maqam Ibrahim.
So
we're looking at it and then I turn around and the Kaaba is like the distance between me and the curtain right there.
Really?
So I'm like, oh my God, but there's like four rows of people.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. Okay, now's the time. I'm like, yeah, to make it easy for us. So I'm getting like excited, but I'm also like being shoved in every direction. Yeah. Like at this point, like really being pushed.
You got to turn to a linebacker at this point.
No, literally though. So then I see my opening and we go and then there's a man and then there's like two women. So I'm like, okay, let me get my mom in first. So I pull her in front of me and I'm like, okay. I'm going to push you in there so that you can get in there. So I like the man kind of shifted over and I like literally pushed my mom into the Kaaba. And she was there and I had to like basically be her bodyguard. And mind y'all, I'm 5'2".
Wait, so when people are circling this, they're getting that close to the Kaaba?
No, so like maybe
I saw there's like a space, no?
There, no, like, yeah, when people are circling, mm-hmm. well, like, the ones that are right next, like, touching it mm-hmm. are the ones that are just touching it. But if mm-hmm. you're just doing tawaf,
yeah.
They're not that close.
Oh, okay.
Like, they're kind of close, but not enough to touch it.
Yeah, okay.
So now she's touching it. She's making her dua, mm-hmm. all of that. And I'm being shoved, mm-hmm. like, literally, like, punch bag. Like, and, yeah. I'm trying to record her, too. And then she pulls my arm.
Mm-hmm.
And then we basically swap places,
mm-hmm.
and people are pushing her. So now she's on my side,
yeah.
but I'm literally like the weight of like five people is on my back.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to put my knee on like the base of the Kaaba
yeah.
to stop from like literally face planting into it.
Mm-hmm.
I take my time. I make my dua. And then something tells me you should take a picture of this because there was no way I was going to vlog. Mm-hmm. I would have gotten my camera stolen. So I put my hand and I'm trying to like fish out my phone from my little side bag. And then I feel someone trying to grab my phone. So I'm like, yo.
Someone actually tried to steal your phone?
Yes, because my hand's like this.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to pull it out with my left hand.
Yeah.
And someone's trying to pull it too. So I'm like, I pull it fast.
Yeah.
And I put my hand and I'm like trying to fight off the people behind me, but also like, go like this.
If you're like in close to the Kaaba or circling it, what is going through your mind? We're like, oh, shoot, I should take that real quick. Like, who's, I don't know. These people are always like thinking...
I think it was like a mixture of either taking the phone or it's just like there's so many people that their hands are grabbing yeah. anything at this point.
Okay.
I don't know. Allahu Alam.
Yeah.
So my hands
there. Let's think good about Muslims, okay?
So I'm trying to fish out my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I can't feel it and I'm trying to make sure it's this phone.
Yeah.
Google Pixel.
You know, the one she took all her Instagram photos on, you know? Go and check them out for the best quality photos you can get. On an Android. Better than an iPhone. Okay, go.
So I go like this. I take the picture.
Yeah.
And then I feel a hand on top of me.
Yeah.
And I look up because I'm like, who is touching yeah. my hand? And it's my mom.
Aww.
So I'm like, okay. So I took a picture and it was the nicest, like, cutest picture ever. And then I look over at her and I'm like, oh, it's you. And she's like, yeah, hurry, take the picture.
Uh-huh.
So we take it. Now we're on cloud nine.
Yeah.
Literally cloud nine. People are pushing me and I'm just walking out with a smile on my face. She's happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm messaging Gizman. Like,
yeah.
So we get out of the haram area.
Mm-hmm.
We find my dad. We're telling him all about it. And I feel so bad.
Did he at least get any chance to do it or no?
No, because...
Yeah.
So now we go home.
Mm-hmm.
The next day we go back to do our farewell.
Go home as in go back to the hotel.
Sorry, go back to the hotel. The next day, we come back to do our farewell tawaf.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like the etiquette of doing Umrah is when you're leaving Mecca, you mm-hmm. have to do a farewell tawaf where you just go around seven times, but you're not in the state of ihram. You don't have to do Safa and Marwa and all that mm-hmm. other stuff. So we get to the masjid maybe like 4 hours before our train to go to Medina.
Yeah.
As soon as we get there, my mom's like, I need to use the bathroom.
Oh, this story. Okay, good.
So I'm like, okay. I'm like, you know what? Dad, because at this point I got my mom an eSIM. I learned my lesson. I got her an eSIM. She has data.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, Dad, you go with her. If you guys need anything, message me. I'll wait mm-hmm. for you guys here.
I would have just got them all an eSIM at this point.
I know, but my dad's wasn't working, so that's why she had one.
Okay, okay.
So they go, and I'm mm-hmm. waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. Next thing I know, there's like groups of like people sitting around me. Like they just set up shop now.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how long has it been? I'm vlogging.
Mm-hmm.
The workers pass me like timir, zamzam water. They're like, yo, you good?
Yeah.
I'm waiting, like waiting. So I'm like, bro, the train, like mm-hmm. I won't have time to do my farewell tawaf. Like,
yeah.
You know what? I'm just going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They can come.
Very dangerous move, but okay.
So now, because I was on a high still from touching the Kaaba the night before, I'm like, I can handle this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Allah cleared the path for me. I could do it again.
So did she know?
I went into the circle and I was like, all right, this is fine.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on your own, people don't really respect you. They push you. They shove you. You're tested. But mm-hmm. I'm like, it's fine. It's my farewell tawaf. I'm just going to take the L, like not the L, but like I'm just going to take whatever comes my way. So I'm going. I finally made it to one rotation.
Yeah.
And I think that took me almost 45
circumambulation.
Minutes. Circumambulation.
I heard that word for you. Okay. Yeah.
45 minutes.
Yeah.
To do one.
45 minutes?
So I'm like...
And it took you like 2 hours last time to do seven, right?
Yeah.
Damn.
So okay. I'm like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm on my second one.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, making progress. Halfway through my third round,
mm-hmm.
doesn't the Maghrib Adhan go off? while I'm there. And I'm like, uh-oh. Because everything just halts at this point.
Yeah.
Everyone freezes. Mm-hmm. Then next thing I know, it's just like a sea of men in white appear.
Yeah.
And they're all coming to get in their formation yeah. for the prayer. And I'm like,
where do I go?
So now I'm like full blown panic mode mm-hmm. because I'm like, where do I go? I can't get out. They're trying to get in. People mm-hmm. are freaking out. Because the way is kind of like clearing a bit, some people are thinking, now's my opportunity to go touch the Kaaba right before they start Maghrib prayer.
Yeah.
So because everyone's panicking, one lady takes it upon herself to just start shoving people like no tomorrow. Like when I say shoving, she's like literally
to get them out.
Shoving them. Mm-hmm. The guards are coming and they're yelling at people. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I'm basically floating out now. Mm-hmm. And the other thing
is, you should just start crowd surfing at that moment.
No, but the thing is that the men that are trying to secure their spot, like when I tell you they're securing, they're not moving.
Yeah.
Amir, they're not moving. So if you bump into them, like you're falling over.
Yeah.
Then there are people who are praying who, because we're being shoved, they're like, they're getting knocked over.
Why would they choose to pray? Like, I feel like
you can do
the sunnah after.
I know. Like, so I'm just like, oh my God. And so then I start freaking out because I'm like, stop pushing. Like, we're pushing. Like, mm-hmm. and then there's people who are literally holding hands mm-hmm. and knocking other people over because they refuse to let go.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. You're afraid of getting lost, but like, common sense. Mm-hmm. Come on. So I finally make my way out of the immediate circle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I need to pray Maghrib too. So I just like,
turn around.
I just turned around. I said, all right, I'm praying right here.
Yeah.
And then this line formed and I
How do those lines form, like, precisely or, like, properly? Or do they just, like, form and, like, there might be a line that breaks into two lines and then three? Like, within how does that circle? Work? Yeah.
Within the circle, like, the tiles
lines,
are,
right?
There's tiles there. So people just, like, basically each tile is supposed to be for an individual person.
Oh, okay. And how about outside?
Outside. So all of the tiles in the masjid are facing the Kaaba. So you'll always know the direction of the Qibla.
Okay. Yeah.
And so right outside, it's supposed to be like the walkway, but mm-hmm. people just form lines there. It happens during the prayer. So you just kind of line up wherever you can, but you can't block the walkway either.
Oh.
You know, so some people were like praying literally in the walkway.
Yeah.
But then people are still trying to get out of the circle. So it was just causing like mass hysteria at this point. The guards are yelling at people.
And this happens 5 times a day.
Yes. Which is why.
Yeah.
A lot of people, like 2 hours before the prayer, they start, like, they wait.
Like you mentioned, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I pray. Mm-hmm. And I'm messaging my parents. Still can't find them.
Yeah.
No idea where they're at. They finally get back to me and they're like, we can't get back in. They closed off all of the gates. And I was like, just go back to the hotel, pack up the stuff.
So is that what happened this whole time? Like, they just couldn't get back into
that's, the... Okay. That's why they couldn't... Yeah. I couldn't find them. But they also didn't have
service?
Connection. Yeah. Mm. So then I'm like, okay, fine. So then I finish Maghrib and I pray Isha. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, I need to get back to the hotel so I can get on the train.
Yeah.
Tell me why they're quoting me 100-something riyal to go back to a 10-minute ride to my hotel. So I'm like,
oh, because they know people are desperate at that point, I think.
That and like every time it's prayer time, the roads get closed, so no Ubers can come in. So I'm like, I can't call an Uber. These taxis are quoting me 100 riyal. Like, this is insane.
What's the conversion, 100 riyal to Canadian?
That's a good question. I don't know. Let me check actually real quick because...
Let's see if Google's faster.
Let's see. Convert Canadian to
Saudi. $37. Ha!
For what? 100?
Huh? 100? Yeah, for 100 riyal. It's $37.82 Canadian dollars.
Roughly.
Suck it.
But like, whatever, it's because I was using the calculator app.
Okay.
So then I'm like struggling because I'm not paying 100 riyal.
Yeah.
And I'm like asking the hotel staff, like, can someone call me a cab? I'm just trying to get to my train.
Yeah.
Eventually, I finally meet this one guy. Mm-hmm. And he's
a lot
like,
of guys just picking you up. And
no, literally. Okay. So then he's like, okay, I'll take you for 50. Mm-hmm. So I was like 40. And he's like, fine. So I get in the car.
You're learning.
I know. I get in the car and then he's explaining why it's expensive. I'm like, I get it, but like, I'm a traveler and I'm miskeen. I learned in Arabic, Ana musafir wa ana miskeen.
And trying to guilt trip everybody with that one line.
Well, he laughed. Yeah. He's like, that's pretty good. And so we're driving back to the hotel, but because the roads are closed, he's taking a detour. Mm-hmm. And he's like, this is why we charge, because, you know, whatever. Yeah. He's telling me his life story. And he's like, where's your parents? Mm-hmm. Like, why are you by yourself? And I was like, I told him the whole story.
Yeah.
Anyways, I end up giving him 50 because he was like a 22-year-old kid. And he was just mm-hmm. like, find me a wife from Canada. Actually, the other day he messaged me and he's like, hey, I went to go pray at Masjid al-Haram and I remembered you, so I made dua for you.
Oh,
like,
my God. He was trying to make you the wife.
Nah. Not when I have 10 years on him.
He don't care that green card. Or not that green card. What is it? The PR in Canada?
PR, yeah. Whatever it's called.
We'll speak for you.
And so I was like, wow. I mean, thanks.
Yeah.
Anyway, we finally, and at this point, I'm full-fledged, like, sick from Umrah already. So yeah. I was just in a bad mood. Mm-hmm. I reunite with my parents.
They made it the same way, took taxi?
Yeah, but they left before me because they weren't caught in the crowd. So they were already outside.
So you got a good price.
Oh, hopefully. Yeah.
Okay.
So then we make our way to the train station. Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing, this wasn't, actually, no, this time it was fine. They scanned our tickets, whatever.
Yeah.
I heard that when you're taking the train, they're really strict about baggage.
Yeah.
Like, about how many, like, you're allowed one big one and then a small carry-on. Mm-hmm. Not only did we have our big suitcases, we had our carry-on and then a duffel bag. But it's fine. We compiled everything. It looked fine.
We should have just done what the sheikhs would have told you to do. Put it under your abaya. Remember that? Remember that whole, like, no, the bag. Remember that whole, like, controversy a year ago?
No, he was saying to wear your jacket under your abaya.
No, but there was also the bag one, because they said the bag, the straps pull
on
your forearm.
Oh, get out of here.
I'm just saying. That was
Who
a thing.
Said that?
Was, some sheikhs, I don't know. It was a thing. Oh, it was controversial last year, okay? But it might have helped you in this situation.
So we, like, make it to Medina. Mm-hmm. It is so cold, like, freezing cold. We get another Uber to our hotel. Our Uber driver, this lovely man, his name was Abdullah from Yemen, and he took us on a whole tour of the city at midnight.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Like, literally took us around, showed us Jabal Uhud, showed us, I forgot what the mountain's called now. I'll tell you what it is so you can insert the name. Mm-hmm. There's going to be pictures, don't worry.
Yeah.
But anyways, he and I vlogged it all, but he took us on this whole tour. We finally make it back to our hotel. Mm-hmm. Medina was everything that people say it was. Truly, like,
a lot more peaceful, I'm guessing.
So much more peaceful. Like, truly, just, like, tranquility is that. Like, I experienced that for the first time, and I was like, wow, this is what it feels like. Mm-hmm. And so, absolutely loved Medina. Like, after going from, like, the hustle and bustle of Mecca, this is exactly what we needed. And I think it was planned perfectly that way. I feel like we're going to have to do, like, a part two of this.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a part two for sure.
Where are we at?
We're at 100, one, it's not 100, 1 hour and 11 minutes. Yeah.
Oh,
so maybe we'll do a part two of your Medina and the rest of the trip.
Yeah. We're just going to end it here.
But before we end it here, I want to give maybe your top, you can choose either your top five or top 10 tips. Let's say top, what would you choose? Top five or top 10?
Top five.
Okay, let's. What are your top five tips
Shirt
for
off,
Umrah?
Sorry.
What are your top five tips for Umrah?
Tips?
Yeah.
Before you go, I would say really set your intention and be intentional about why you're going, and that'll kind of help you be more present and more intentional about the du'a that you make. And then, like, part B of that is, like, also have your du'a list ready, because, like I was explaining, when you see the Kaaba for the first time, you truly are overwhelmed and you kind of just, like, your mind goes blank. But, like, leading up to it, I had my list not necessarily open, but I had it all, like, playing in my head.
Yeah.
So I knew what I wanted to make du'a for, who I wanted to make du'a for. Mm-hmm. Tip number two is you definitely need, like, an eSIM, or if you want to get a SIM card from the airport, whatever one is.
Yeah.
Get that. Tip number three is to instinct is to record and take pictures of everything right away because you're just so excited, but really allow yourself to be present and in the moment first and then pictures and videos later. Like, there's always going to be time for it. I just think that if you're living your life behind your phone screen, you're not going to really experience, like, the essence of it.
Yeah.
And so allow yourself to just be disconnected. It's okay.
And also, I think it's good to keep in mind that it depends on how many days you're there. If you're going to be there for multiple days, you can get all the, like, your own experiences out on that first day.
Exactly.
And then you can, you know, if you want to film stuff or take pictures, you can always do that on the next day or after you finish everything.
Exactly. What are we at? Three?
Three, yeah.
Okay.
That was your third, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tip number four is if you're going to shop, just know that Mecca and Medina are essentially like, the shop owners know that, you know, you're a tourist. Mm-hmm. And so the prices of things like abayas, thobes, et cetera, are generally like a lot higher. Mm-hmm. So unless you're a really, really, really good haggler or you're just buying for the sake of like, you want to get something from Mecca or Medina for the barakah, don't go too crazy in the shops over there.
Yeah.
Tip number five.
Think about like also things like best places for preparing for it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, like tip number five, I was going to say, this is, I guess, like a prep thing, but make sure that you are eating properly, you're hydrating, you're taking your vitamins, mm-hmm. you have backup medication, you're prioritizing rest, because we, like,
if you're thinking about... Would you suggest wearing masks?
Well, you can't when you're when you're in the state of ihram, mm-hmm. right? So, like, afterwards, yeah, mm-hmm. like, I'm pretty sure I wore a mask, mm-hmm. but it also gets kind of hot too, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you're going in like the summer months, mm-hmm. you're like in 40, 50 degree weather, yeah. you know? So it's a little bit tough, but definitely take your, like bring your medication from home and stuff mm-hmm. and prioritize rest. And, you know, you try and like, don't overwhelm yourself by trying to like over prepare. Mm-hmm. Like you kind of just like go with the flow too. Like mm-hmm. have that type of personality where you're a little bit more fluid, because sometimes the things that you plan for don't always end up happening.
Yeah.
And sometimes it ends up happening even better. So just kind of like let things happen the way they're supposed to happen.
Yeah. Like, it, you know, you got to trust in Allah. This is the best place to do that.
Exactly.
Right. Rely on Allah.
Exactly.
You'll be taken care of, inshallah.
Yeah.
But yeah. I feel like there's a lot. You can make multiple lists. You can be like, okay, things to prepare before you leave, all those. But
oh, yeah.
Right now, we'll end it there. One other thing to mention is that, like, we're literally going through a winter storm in Toronto as we're recording this.
Yes. Like,
which almost delayed this podcast from happening also. So,
yeah. And I feel like the last like 2 years of winter were pretty mild in Toronto.
Yeah.
And this year we got like years worth of snow in a weekend.
Like when I heard that we were getting another snowstorm after the one we had literally like a few days before
Wednesday
that
or something like that.
Yeah. That didn't sound right. I thought it was a joke. I thought like, oh, they're overreacting.
No.
Yeah. So, and like, this is as I was planning a trip to Detroit.
Yeah.
And like the moment we were planning to drive out was the moment that the snowstorm was supposed to start. Mm-hmm. So of course we like left a few hours early, and alhamdulillah, like, I literally did not see. We saw like snow maybe for 30 minutes on our drive.
Really?
But for the rest of the trip, it wasn't as bad as you guys had it here. It's almost like when you leave a place and when you come back, like apocalypse occurred. Because when I came back and I came into this neighborhood, I saw piles of snow like up to like what would be close to the ceiling in this room.
Like taller than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like Michigan sure got a little bit of snow.
Was it as bad as here?
But it wasn't as bad. They got maybe like 6 inches. And that's another thing, is that I feel like for some reason the infrastructure in Toronto is so bad when it comes to dealing with snow that compared to like Detroit. Or maybe it's because they didn't get as much, but like whenever it did snow, the roads were cleared almost immediately. I never had any issues. And sure, the neighborhoods took a little bit longer, but like, if you have an HOA, like in Canada, I don't know if they have HOAs as...
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a thing here as much, but in America, that's everywhere.
It's called, what is it? Homeowners...
Association. But because of that, they are usually on top of it and taking care of like at least the streets.
But they pay for that, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They pay
so
for that.
So they should take care of it right
yeah,
away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they don't really care much for the sidewalks because nobody walks in America. But yeah.
Really?
Yeah, nobody walks. Like we walked... Me and Hannah, we were like, oh, let's go for a walk. Because, you know, I like taking a walk every day. I convinced her to somehow come with me. Mm-hmm. and we started walking out to try and get out of the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But they hadn't taken care of the sidewalks on the street. So we got to the main street, like the main road, and we couldn't go anywhere. So we had to turn back and just go back home and had to take a car to where we were going. But yeah, so Alhamdulillah, we survived the weekend. But we'll have to continue the rest of her trip. The story, we had a bunch of
I don't know why we thought
to
we
mention
were
here, but we'll just have to mention them on a future episode. The only thing that was maybe time sensitive was like the winter storm. That's why I wanted to kind of mention that, because it'd be kind of old news by next week. But yeah, if you guys liked what we talked about today, if you want to hear more,
and you want to see the future vlog,
yes, and you want to see the future vlog, make sure you subscribe to the channel, and also make sure you follow us on all the platforms. We're going to start posting again. Of course, we've been gone for a bit.
Exactly.
You know, I've been posting on YouTube. Also, check out our shorts. I've been like kind of re-uploading old shorts. So if you haven't seen our older episodes or our older shorts, or older clips, you can check them out on YouTube. I've been slowly uploading those ones
They're
as well.
They're pretty good. I've been watching them.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I'm
like, you know,
these are good.
You know, we've been putting out there for a minute, okay? Mm-hmm. So you can go and check those out, see where we've come from. And yeah, follow us on at Cousin Connection Pod on Instagram and TikTok. You know, TikTok's still around. I think like the last episode we did was when we thought TikTok was gone.
Literally.
Really? Yeah, that's
oh
how long
God.
It's been.
Oh my God. Damn.
Yeah. So okay. It's good to be back. And we're going to be more consistent.
No, this time we actually
yeah, we're actually, we actually we don't. Maybe we. I have. Okay, we're going to be more consistent. But yeah, other than that, we'll see y'all next week. Bye.
Bye.
's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.